In Revolutionary Wealth, Alvin, you and Heidi, your wife, co-author, talk about the unpaid third job. Now, what is that?
Oh, yeah. I think many of us have three jobs. First job is a job. We go to the office, go wherever it is we work, and we do our work, and we get paid, and that's a job. Then we come home, and we cook a meal, or we paint a room, or we fix something that's busted, or we take the kid out to the doctor or to school, and we're taking care of business, so to speak, but it's our personal business. That's another job. That's another responsibility and job. And finally, there is a third job that we haven't noticed that we do. And this is a job that is given to us, on the one hand, by new technology, but also by various companies who take advantage of the new technology to put some of the work that they pay workers to do into our hands instead. For example, it used to be that if you wanted to cash a check, you went to a bank. And behind the counter, there was a teller.
Mm-hmm.
And the teller, frequently a young woman, would take information from you and write it down and make some annotations, and then she'd cash the check. Now you go to an ATM. Now, what happens? You punch in that information that she was punching in before, and you have, in effect, taken over her job. And guess what? If you calculate, roughly speaking, and I don't know, the numbers aren't exact by any means, something like 200,000 tellers are effectively replaced by the existence of the ATM and the work that we do feeding the information in instead of another person getting paid to feed the information in. We're not paid to feed the information in. Now, this is not an attack on ATMs. ATMs may be very good. They serve many purposes. People like them. They don't have to wait as long. On the other hand, we need to know what the consequences are. And the consequences are that companies have, banks have shoved off part of the work that they paid the workforce to do onto the customer. And that is happening in field after field, where companies are doing what are the economists call externalizing labor cost. They're pushing labor cost and labor activity onto the customer.
Well, I just noticed that some supermarkets, for example, are experimenting with giving us our own little scanners. So, and I'm not talking about going through the self-help scanner. You literally can walk around, pick your little items, and scan it right there. You turn the scanner back in when you leave the store, and I assume if you don't scan something, an alarm goes off when you're trying to leave.
Mm-hmm. So you are doing the work that somebody at the checkout counter would ordinarily do.
Yep.
So there are new technologies being developed all the time that permit companies to offload workers and jobs and turn that task over to the customer. Again, that may not necessarily be bad for the economy as a whole, and it may be good for people want that, but it is different, and it is not something that is tracked or understood very widely in the economy. So what you have are people doing essentially unpaid labor. That's the third job.
It's dangerous, Alvin. It sounds like it for somebody who needs a job.
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah, it may result in the layoff of hundreds of thousands of tellers, but it may also create a job for the people who manufacture the.
Well, but that'll probably be done.
Or who design it, or who think of, write the software and so forth and so on.
But I bet that's going to be done probably in another country.
But that could well be done in another country. But in any event, there is therefore a kind of hidden process going on that not much attention is paid to, which I think is increasingly important in our economy. And there are a whole bunch of others that get almost no attention, but have a big impact on what's going on here. If you take economics, you probably taught the slogan that in the economy there's no free lunch, but there is free lunch in the sense that we're doing many, many things that for which we aren't paid, which have a huge impact on the paid economy and money economy. There's a non-monetary economy. Take, for example, Linux, the software, the operating system. there you have a single person, a young programmer, sitting in probably a cubbyhole in Finland, and he doesn't like the software that he's been given by his boss, his company, or his agency. He says, I could write a better operating system than that. And he sits down, and without anybody telling him to do this, nobody paying him to do this, but purely on his own, he designs a new operating system. Then he puts it out on the web, and he invites programmers anywhere in the world to improve it. And they come on board, and they do improve it, all of them working without money. So it is ignored in the economy. Economists don't know that exists, right?
Good point.
Now you have a much better operating system than you had available to you before, and the next thing you know, Microsoft is scared silly that it's going to take over its business. And China makes a law, in effect, a rule that government agencies in China must not use Microsoft, but must use Linux, this operating system that was created without pay on a volunteer basis by people just interested in doing it. Now, and not only that, government agencies can only use that in China. And, of course, they managed to do two things with that. One, they show the finger to both Microsoft and to the U.S. simultaneously. But in any event, the point is that there is a lot of activity going on that is not measured in the economy. It's when money changes hands, it gets measured by and large. If value is created and money doesn't change hands, it is rarely captured or measured or understood by economists. So there's a whole invisible or hidden economy. And in Revolutionary Wealth, we point out all the different ways this operates. And all of us are what we call prosumers. That's a word we invented in our book, The Third Wave, back in 1980. It's a combination of pro for produce and sum from consume. We both produce and consume. And we are therefore prosumers, and there is a whole prosumer economy in which people do things without money but have a big impact on the money economy. For example, there was a Hollywood agent who would go to conferences and try to get pedal actors or singers and so on to Hollywood, but he had a hobby. He learned his aunt or some relative lady taught him to bake cookies. And so he would always take a bag of cookies to the meeting when he had to meet, and it was came to be, a joke almost. And they were good cookies. They were great. And it softened up the meeting, I suppose, and the agents, the negotiations went smoothly and so forth. Anyway, somebody said to him, boy, those are good enough for you to market those. And guess what? That's called Famous Amos cookies.
I love it.
So somebody without pay, without being part of the economy, created something that then in turn became a part of the economy.